It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Off the ball breakfast.
Yeah, I'm mixing up Panossi and San Sebastian. Maybe I am.
This is like a slow bicycle race of shit teams to glory.
Jesus. Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the ball breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Morning, everyone. It's Off the Ball Breakfast at 7:30 a.m. We're live. Keith Tracy is going through his musical choices of life, and we're here for it. It's a stacked show today. 7:35, we're going into the morning's paper. 7:50, we're going to have John Duggan in studio because Rory McIlroy has had a shocker of a day one in the latest major. So the omens are good for him to win it. So we'll be joined by JD. There's plenty of Irish involvement in that as well. Then we're going to have Conor Keeney, the former Dublin Jewel star. It's a busy weekend for the boys in blue with our footballers taking on Galway in the All-Ireland Series and the hurlers facing Kilkenny in the Leinster Championship. We'll also have Alan Quinnan previewing a season-defining and emotionally climactic night in Cork tonight for Munster. And then we'll have everyone's favourite dynamic League of Ireland duo with Barry Murphy and Owen Heary in studio to look ahead to a full weekend of League of Ireland fixtures. I'm joined by the product and producer himself, Dara Smith-Nocton from Cavan. Dara, good morning.
How's it going, Colin?
And to my left, everyone's favourite guest, co-host, the former Blackburn, Burnley and Republic of Ireland midfielder, Keith Tracy. Keith, good morning.
Morning, Colin. Morning, everybody.
Special shout out, lads, to start the day, Dara. Usually we do the birthdays at the end. Birthdays at the start today. Oh. I'd like to have a special mention to Shane Hannan, our beloved Friday presenter, whose daughter, Luna May Hannan, is celebrating her first birthday today.
Aww. Happy birthday.
Congratulations to Shane and Aoife and Luna. They're off to Belfast Zoo, I believe. They're in the area. Ask for a selfie. They'll love it. And it's not just that where it stops with off-the-ball related birthdays, because another favourite presenters of ours, one of the legendary figures of sports media, Ger Gilroy, it's his birthday today. So if anyone wants to guess Ger's age, please let us know in the live YouTube comments.
I'm sure there'll be WhatsApp. Coin comments then.
087-9-180-180. Guess Ger Gilroy's age. It's also available on YouTube. Lads, the Eurovision semi-final didn't go well. Keith, talk us through it.
I listened to the song, but it's just a bit mad now, isn't it? It's not even really a singing competition anymore. It's just
game's gone.
If I had my way, I'd be sending Dustin next year. There really is no point, is there? It's mental, because you can have the best song, you can have the best setup, but really, I think it's just a popularity contest. Really, it's off the wall at this stage. It's hard to stick with the Eurovision, isn't it?
I never got into
it. I've never watched it.
Our time was in the 90s there. Yeah. We were unbelievable at it for a while.
Was it 7 they've won?
Yeah, we were so good at it that we kept keeping hosting it and we couldn't afford it anymore.
Look at Johnny Logan.
10 episode based on it.
The Bow song.
Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly. Speaking of Bows, big game tonight in the League of Ireland. It was a sad old week last week, really, in many ways. The Stephen Kenny comments are very interesting. We'll get to them later with Owen and Barry, but Tim Clancy and the way he left Cork City. Did it surprise you, first of all, that he left? Probably more shock in the manner of which he departed.
I think Tim had a little bit of credit. I don't think, you know, when you hear of a manager walking away from a club, you maybe think he's jumped before he was pushed. I don't think that was the case with Tim, and he's come out and said it wasn't the case, and I do believe him. Yeah, what Tim has said about starting a new business and missing the kids, only being 2.5 hours away from them, and I know he said he had accommodation down in Cork, but he wanted to go and see the kids. I totally understand that. And look, when you have a business and everything else in the background, it becomes a very, very difficult job. And obviously with Rory getting injured, Rory Keaton, Shawnee Maguire, Greg Bulger, Dyke Steele, it was a big, big ask. And obviously the results haven't been great over the last couple of weeks, but I think Cork's remit, and I think that's one thing that the Cork fans really need to get aligned with everybody else is, you know, I speak to some Cork fans and they're saying, you know, we should be going for Europe this season. I'm going, really? It's the first season back in the league. Like, you just need to just consolidate your position. And I think Tim referenced that. A couple of the ex-managers of Cork have referenced the, you know, some of I suppose they're where they want to be, but there's building blocks need to be put in place. And I think if Cork can stay in the league this season, which they're on track to do, Sligo just behind them, then it'd be a good season. So all Cork have to do is stay in the league, and it will be an acceptable season for me. But there'll be Cork fans that won't be happy with that, and I think they need to have a word with themselves.
Yeah. Vinnie Perth was on this week's League of Ireland podcast as per usual, and had something really fascinating to say. We'll get to that in just a second. I'm just going to go through the fixtures tonight. So you mentioned Cork City. They go to St. Patrick's Athletic with their interim team in charge. They're Waterford play Shamrock Rovers. You have Galway United against Sligo Rovers. Drogheda United against Derry City. And in the Dublin Derby, Bowes against Shells, that we have live commentary on as well, News Talk with Stephen Doyle. But as I mentioned there, Vinnie Perth was on the League of Ireland podcast this week. He was asked about Tim Clancy's departure as Cork City boss, and this is what Vinnie had to say about his own time after Dundalk.
We've lost another good person in League of Ireland football for the time being.
Yeah, can I sum this up, mate? And some of my friends criticising me for being honest, but feck it, we are talking about it. It's so hard, mate. Like, I lost sleep, I put on weight, couldn't sleep at night for 3-4 days in a row if a result didn't go my way. And Gareth Wright, haven't support with it, but ultimately, generally in football, even a director of football, like you look at, say, maybe Alan Reynolds, someone like Pat Fennin has been there, been in the trenches, but deep down, you're just not 100% sure. And it's the most loneliest place in the world. The biggest challenge is when you come out of football, it's even more lonely, because I spent 10, 12 years as a player in a dressing room with 20-odd players. Then I spent another 10, 12 years in a changing room with another 10, 20, 30 players. And ultimately then, part of your life, and Tim would experience this, and Longerwood as well, they're the freshest ones. You leave those other parts of your life behind a little bit. Mates that you used to go golfing with, mates you used to go for a pint with, you can't go with them on Friday, or you're watching a game back on Saturday, you're up here, you're away, you're only off over Christmas, you're not around for those barbecues. And ultimately then, all your mates are gone. And when the lights go out, I tell you what, you're left on your own, and you become really lonely is a big word, because there is people out there that are very lonely. But you become the like-minded people that you need to be around are gone from your life. And it is so, so difficult. So I admire Tim's decision and I admire his thinking. But there will be fans or people, easily people will say, well, that's what football management is, or they get on with it. But a bit, and again, if I can make this a party broadcast myself, I still believe I'm good enough to win the league with a right team. But I ain't applying for jobs at the moment, because I don't know whether I can go back in and do that. It's so public. Like, when I lost my job, it was the lead news on the 6-1 news. So why am I saying that? It's like, there's no hiding place from that. You can't go, like, everybody knows I'm busy trying to repair the damage, believe it or not. So this is the best way. I'm busy at the moment trying to repair the damage to me life when I came out of Dundalk.
We've had a lot of honest contributors.
It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
You know that feeling when someone shows up for you just when you need it most? Yeah, I mean, we all need that. That's what Uber's all about. Not just a ride or dinner at your door. It's how Uber helps you show up for the moments that matter. Because showing up can turn a tough day around or make a good one even better. Whatever it is, big or small, Uber is on the way, so you can be on yours. Uber, on our way.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Over the years, on Off the Ball, Keith, yourself included, and sometimes we get something really fresh and genuinely from the heart, but those words from Vinnie Perth this week on the League of Ireland podcast are right up there, aren't they? Because you can't get more honest than what Vinnie just admitted there.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. I know what goes into the amount of work it takes to become a manager, and look, I played football at the highest level, but in terms of my coaching courses, I done my B course up the north. I'm supposed to go back up to Belfast at the end of May to complete my A badge. And to be honest with you, I don't think I'm going to do it. The love you need for football to compete in the coaching world, in the managerial world, even within the League of Ireland, it's a job that, you know, you don't do your 9 to 5 and then you go home and then it switches off. It's a job that sticks with you every single minute of every single day. It can become such a lonely place if results aren't good. And the one thing that terrifies the life out of me with being a manager or being a coach, you can be absolutely brilliant Monday to Thursday. You can do the best training sessions in the world anybody's ever seen. You can improve players. But if you lose on a Friday, nobody cares. It's all about Friday. So, yeah, look, I totally understand. And when people ask me, like, would you get into coaching? Would you be a manager, Keith? I really don't want to. I don't have the amount of love that you need to have for the game. I look at Damien Duff and people like that and think the love that he has for the game totally, totally eclipses the love I have. And look, the work I put in when I was a young footballer, obviously, you know, it was everything. Football was meat and drink to me. It was everything I did. But now I have a family. There's more important things to me. So I totally understand what Vinny's saying. I totally understand why Tim Clancy has walked away from Cork, because it's a, like I say, it can be a very, very lonely job and things can get on top of you very, very quickly. So yeah, look, it's one of those things. I totally understand what Vinny is saying, and anybody to be, you know, things can get on top of you. All of a sudden you're in this really dark, dark place and you don't feel, you know, going into the dressing room can become a real, real hassle. And like you say, everybody's talking about it, and it's one of those weird jobs that everybody feels they could do better. Even as a player, you know, people say, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? When you're a manager, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that? Everybody feels they can do a little bit better than you have. So yeah, I totally understand why Vinny is not applying for jobs, and I totally understand why Tim Clancy has walked away, because it's an extremely stressful life and you put your family through the mill as well. It's not just the coach, and Tim's obviously travelling, and Vinny speaking about his family as well. It's a difficult, difficult job.
I asked Tim Clancy during this week, would the Cork City players have known last week that you were going to go? And he said, no, I don't think so. You hit it well. And from your own time, did you ever suspect the moment when manager's lost his love for discipline now, and I can see him walking out the door?
No, well,
they have to hide it, don't they? Especially in front of the players. Like, players going to have no sympathy for a manager's position.
Well, you say they have to hide it. There was once I was playing for Preston and we lost, and I didn't play particularly well. And Darren Ferguson came in and he gave us an earful, and he basically went around the dressing room and said, "Look, see you. I'm leaving this club. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm going to resign as soon as I finish this chat." And we were all a little bit taken back by it. And he went around the dressing room and burnt a lot of bridges with a lot of things he said to a lot of individual players. But he left the dressing room, and Sean St. Ledger, a couple of the older boys at Preston, had a bit of a chat between ourselves. And we thought, you know what? He's not actually the worst guy in the world, this Darren Ferguson. And we went down, we knocked on his door, and he said, "Oh yeah, look, it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I'll stick about." But once he's brought it up once, you start to think that we're there now. And yeah, he didn't last too much longer than that, Darren Ferguson. The only other time I've had a manager jump ship really quickly was Eddie Howe, but his mother was unwell at the time. So it wasn't like he fell out of love with Burnley and left. His mother became unwell at Bournemouth. But you just feel it in the dressing room. I was in the reserves at Burnley when Eddie Howe was there because I was acting the billy goat. And about 2 days before he went back down to Bournemouth, I got a call from the chairman of Burnley to come in and have a chat. And he started asking me about wanting to get me into the first team and everything else. And that was just a little thing. I thought, something's happening here. And 2 days later, Eddie Howe had gone back to Bournemouth. So your card gets marked that something's happening without really knowing what it is.
Now, Cork City have replaced Tim Clancy with Gerard Nash, who was actually in the running for the job when Tim Clancy got it. He's been out coaching in Sweden with Geis, the club associated with Aston Villa. He was coaching there the under-18, so on paper it's a good appointment at 38 years of age. We'll see what he can do at senior level. We'll talk about all of that with Owen and Barry later on more. Another thing though, concerning the domestic game, is last night, I don't know if you heard this on the radio, Owen and Nathan had a special call-in hour. It was very throwback radio about the aligned calendar football season in the country, so that the schoolboy and basically amateur level of the game align with the League of Ireland. And Keith, it was interesting that there was a lot of an array of opinions that, you know, a lot of people not necessarily in favour of summer football, but January to December or wherever you want to play it within it. And a lot of people naysaying, I would have been in the former camp, I would have thought this is a no-brainer, a line, play as many games as you can in the sun, but it's not that easy, particularly for the volunteers, for the parents, for the referees. It's difficult for people's schedule. But for you, is there only one answer to this question?
Yeah, I think we need the aligned calendar. I think it's the next logical step moving forward. Having said that, I was listening last night, and I understand it's a very difficult thing to get everybody pushing in the right direction within Irish football. And some of the people that were phoning in last night, I totally understand what they're saying. And nobody's making a comment and you're going, that's a rubbish comment, you know, that's just silly stuff. It's custodians getting their nose out of joint. It's the volunteers that have lifted clubs up from the ground up. And you know, this won't suit an awful lot of people. This will put an awful lot of noses out of joint, but it's not going to be perfect to get this aligned calendar. It's not just going to be, well, we'll all do it on this date and everything will be great for everybody. It's going to put noses out of joint. But I think when you look at the League of Ireland in particular, moving forward, it has to happen. Yeah. It will make us stronger. But overall, I understand there will be an awful lot of people that don't want it to happen. But whoever it is that comes in and does Mark Canham's role, it's a big, big job to get everybody pushing in the same direction doing this.
We're the only country in Europe who don't have that aligned calendar. But Shane Keegan was one of the callers last night and made the reasonable point that, look, you actually don't need this aligned calendar or the change in calendar from the traditional September to May, because there's nothing stopping you playing more games in the summertime. For like, my initial feeling about this was like, the number of games growing up playing with teams at different levels that got called off between November and February was unbelievable. I'd say on average I played 1 to 2 games in that period of time. So that is basically an interrupted season as it is.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it's a no-brainer, you got to change it. And then the other thing I was like, what is this actually for? Is it to get more people playing, or is it to actually develop and make professional players? What's the point in the change?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know, because I feel there's like a lack of ball time for kids. They don't actually get the ball enough at their feet. The other problem is that the size of the country, the number of different sports we have, there's no other country has to contend with the mighty GAA. But I imagine that kids in other countries still play other sports, so it can't be that simple. And there's nobody that's forcing a kid in Ireland to play a variety of sports. They can maybe try it for a while, but if they really want to just play one sport, they will. So there's a load of factors in this. I initially thought this is a no-brainer. Definitely go to summer football, aligned calendar football. You need kids playing football more, having less games called off. But there are people who were genuinely affected by it. And I just wonder, is this an issue that's ever really going to be resolved? This is coming in regardless, but there'll be so many naysayers that a lot of people might just not do this.
Yeah. And do you know what, we said this off air, like a lot of people are saying summer football, the kids don't get a chance to go away and everything else. I mean, from the age of 13, I didn't go away. I was starting to become a pretty decent footballer. So it wasn't like the gauntlet wasn't thrown down either, become a professional footballer now, Keith, or you missed the boat. But from the age of 13, every Easter break, Halloween, whatever you want to say, the summer breaks, I was over in England on trials. I wasn't on holidays because I wanted to pursue becoming a professional footballer. Now, if a young 13-year-old boy, a young 13-year-old girl wants to become a professional footballer, then they might have to miss the old trip to Marbella or the old trip to Ibiza with the family because they're pursuing a career. You can't be willy-nilly and think, well, I still want to be a professional footballer, but I'm going to go on holidays and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The nature of the beast these days is you've got to get pretty serious pretty quickly with whatever sport you want to do. And It's difficult. I don't think there's any one right answer. I think the right answer is we all need the aligned calendar. But the more you scratch the surface of what people are saying and why they don't want it, you realise it's probably a bigger issue than you think.
I wonder, you talk about the football at your feet thing.
Mm-hmm.
A massive problem, if we're to take the extreme of the senior men's at the minute, we're really lacking technical, very skillful midfielders. Like we have great goalkeepers and great strikers, and that's about it. I wonder if that's the thing, like from youth ages, we're not playing enough football. You're not getting enough of that type of training where you're in tight spaces and you're having to make decisions like we see in other countries. Would that be, is that a theory? Like,
no, you're spot on. I've done a little bit of coaching with Pats under 17s and it's the same all around the country. You know, they have an Astro pitch out in Blanche IT. We torn up and we probably have half the pitch. And I would say to the coach, look, why don't we do 20 minutes of technical work, and you know, a touch with the quad, touch with your chest, half volley back. And they're like, well, we want to do a 20 minute 5v5, or we want to do this and we want to do that. You just don't have the time. You don't have the room to do technical sessions. Where when I was over in England in Blackburn's Academy, I'd have to be in the indoor at 8 o'clock in the morning for a 45 minute technical session before I even have my breakfast, and then after my breakfast it's another 45 minutes before I go out into the pitch to train. You just get technical, you know, shoved down your throat. That's how you control a ball in trouble. In Ireland, lads like the likes of a Mason Mealy get into the first team at 15, 16, and you think, well, I'm the finished article, I don't need to do technical work. Where you're still very, very raw at that age. Although you're playing first team football, you're extremely raw and you still need technical work. And I think that's the biggest difference between the Irish League and the rest of the biggest leagues in Europe, is the technical ability of the players.
We've summed up the sport on today, lads. Day two of the PGA Championship. I see John Duggan, who's really looking very well today for a particular reason. He's going to be in imminently with us too. We have URC action tonight. We have League of Ireland, which we touched on. And we also have two Premier League games on tonight. It's going to cause consternation across homes in Ireland and the UK. So you have tonight, 7:30 p.m. Aston Villa against Tottenham Hotspur, and then at 8:15 p.m. Chelsea against Manchester United. Look, we'll talk more about this with Owen and Barry, but quickly, Keith, your top five. The end of the season?
Top five at the end of the season. Well, I think Liverpool will finish first. I think Arsenal will stay where they are. I know it got a bit ropey there, but I think they'll stay where they are. I fancy Newcastle. I think they'll be all right. Man City to stay where they are. And I think Aston Villa will possibly catch Chelsea. So Villa, City, Newcastle, Arsenal and Liverpool as my top five.
Barcelona have won the league. Lamine Yamal scored an unbelievable goal last night away to Espanyol. There was mad crowd trouble before this game where a fan drove a car into a set of fans or something.
It's kind of difficult to know what was going on. Yeah, so I just saw it on Instagram there yesterday before the match. By the way, great goal, must say, but Lamine Yamal. But there's a bit of a disturbance before the match where it seemed like Espanyol fans were surrounding a car. We can only assume was a Barcelona fan. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're throwing bottles and they're throwing all sorts at this car, and then next you know the car just takes off. And takes a few people with him. I was just like, what is going on? God knows what happened, but it was... they staged a protest, Espanyol fans, at the game. I think a lot of them just went home. Just didn't... There was a lot of empty seats in the stadium. Mad stuff, yeah. But Barcelona got the win in the end.
Everyone's distracted now. If you're watching on YouTube, we've just come in here with this Republic of Ireland jersey. Well, first of all, talk to us about that, John. Where'd you get that?
Morning, Colm and Keith and Dara. I got that in a shop around the corner. That sells retro jerseys.
I know the one.
What year are we talking, JD?
1988.
Great year I was born.
Well, that's it. So there was the art of the possible, there was the hope of the nation when Keith Tracy was born, and when the Republic of Ireland team reached their first ever major championship finals and beat England in their first game in it, Euro 88, and I was 9, and yeah, it was the joy of the possible. So that's what I'm kind of infusing into my being when I'm wearing this jersey, which Ray Houghton wore the real one.
Lamine Yamal last night, glimpses of Arjen Robben in the past, or dare I say Gareth Bale in his final season at Spurs, who scored about 3 or 4 of those type of goals, cutting in from the right and curling in with his left. From what you've seen of Yamal so far, can you remember from what you saw of Messi when he first came through, and who are you more excited by? Because this kid is sensational.
I was more excited maybe about Messi because, I don't know, with every new person you're excited with, you're a bit less excited. So Maradona will be always my peak excitement when I was 7 or 8 watching him in the 86 World Cup. And then Messi comes along, and then Lamine Yamal comes along. But like, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what he does before. I know he's already won a European championship, and he's been Barcelona's possibly key player this season. But let's see in 5 years' time or 10 years' time. I remember being devastated, like as a neutral sports soccer fan, when Messi was not picked off the bench in the 2006 World Cup quarterfinal against Germany, which Argentina lost in penalties. I was in Germany. I was at the World Cup at the time. I was at a game. And it's great to see Lamine Yamal picked, and that he's young enough is good enough. So that's what I'm really refreshed to see about him. But have we seen anybody as good or whatever, all this kind of thing? Wait, give us a few years. But it's great to see he's doing it already.
Some first season by Hansi Flick in charge. We'll get your thoughts on Spurs at the end. But in between, John, the 107th PGA Championship is kicked off in Quail Hollow. Johnny Vegas, top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, that's what they call me out in the town. But so, yeah. It's amazing when you can just laugh at yourself and nobody else is laughing with you. I know you're laughing at me, but yeah. And to be serious, Jonathan Vegas has an interesting life. He grew up in Venezuela, and I don't think he was that badly off, but his dad was fell out of favor with the Hugo Chavez regime, as Alan Chipnook's been writing on his Twitter overnight. But I remember Johnny Vegas, when he came on tour about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, was always he's a big hitting guy, really like a bomber, you know? And that's what you need around Quail Hollow. And he had, 9 birdies? He's 40 years of age now. He's at 4 wins in the tour, 2 Canadian Opens. He played well, hit 72% of greens, 24 putts. He had 24 putts. Rory McIlroy had, how many putts did he have? He had 31 putts, so seven more shots. Rory, maybe it's the talk show circuit, maybe it's the fact that you're getting all the well-wishers and you're coming back and you're meeting your family and everything after the green jacket. It was 11 years in the making. So it's understandable that he just didn't play well. Mm. He had 4 fairways, hit out of 14. You'd expect Rory to be hitting 12 fairways. So just think every aspect of his game was just a bit out.
Right.
And I don't think the early starters had it easy at the PGA. To be honest, after the Masters, it's been an uninspiring, unimaginative day to watch golf. Right. It's a regular PGA Tour stop, Quail Hollow, and it's a very good course for PGA Tour, but I think major championships should be on unique, like old US Open courses or other courses that have a bit of character to them. I know they have these last 3 holes at the end, 16, 17, 18, which are challenging, but Quail Hollow to me is like, it's your bread and butter. You want wedding cakes for majors. I mean, the Masters is a wedding cake. Port Royal should be a wedding cake. Quail Hollow, whatever. And you just, like the leaderboard is just, like Johnny Vegas, 7 under. Ryan Gerrard, rookie on the US Tour, a 5 under par, never won. Cam Davis, 2-time winner on the PGA Tour Australian, he's 5 under. Luke Donald, Ryan Fox, Alex Molly, Stefan Jager, Aaron Rye, 4 under par. We're not going to be dancing in the streets about when we hear these names. The 3 under par group is interesting. Tyrrell Hatton's been on live, won in Dubai earlier this year, 14th at the Masters. Matt Fitzpatrick's been out of form. Alex Noren hasn't won in years. Rob McIntyre has got a bit something about him. He's an interesting guy. Keegan Bradley, another Ryder Cup captain. Rasmus Højgaard, Tyrrell Hatton, as I just mentioned. I suppose Scheffler is the interesting one on 2. What's Scheffler going to do today? Because he had an eagle, then a double, and then he salvaged a couple of birdies on his back 9 for a 2 under par. Given out about mud balls where the course is so saturated at Quail Hollow that they weren't allowed to clean the ball and replace it 6 inches away and get better control of the ball. So to be honest, Tom McKibben being the best Irish player kind of I suppose, kind of sums up the unusual nature of day one. One under par, hit over 70% of fairways and greens, 22 years of age. We know he's a live defector. Seamus Power won over, had two doubles and an eagle. Shane Lowry, once again, looking at his putting stats, 33 putts for Shane, two over. Mm. Roger Harrington, two over. So just a bit meh so far at the PGA, but let's hope it'll get a bit more exciting over the weekend. European winner.
On Rory McIlroy, the last time we talked about him on the morning of day two of a major, it all changed drastically.
That was probably one of the worst moments of my career. So you're reminding me of one of the worst moments of my career.
I think we were all shocked, in fairness. You just said what everyone was thinking.
Yeah, but it's in for posterity now. You can't delete it.
Well, you can save yourself right now what's going to happen on Sunday night with Rory McIlroy.
I can't say anything about Rory McIlroy, but it's. I'm not going to say anything about Rory McIlroy. He's 10 shots back from Johnny Vegas. There's so many players, there. One of them on 3-under or 4-under will probably do something today. He could be looking at 10-under par leading.
But he's not driving well, genuinely, Rory.
He's not playing well in any. Like at 31 putts and 4 fairways. Like at the Masters, like he was playing well at the Masters. Yeah. He just had a bad few holes on the Thursday, but then he came out with a 66. Mm. Even if he shoots, 66? So 65 today because it's par 71. He's back to 3-under par. Surely somebody in the 3 to 5 to 7 bracket will get to 8 or 9 or 10 under. It's possible, but Scheffler's in a much better place. He's 5 better than McIlroy. If you want to be looking at the top players, Scheffler is the one to be looking at. Victor Hovland on 2-under as well. Not out of it. Adam Scott, 2-under. John Rahm, 1-under. But I'd love to see someone like Robert McIntyre, who just seems like a shinty playing guy from Oban, I think it is, up in the Scottish, almost the Outer Hebrides, or I don't really know the geography of Scotland that well, but like he's not from Glasgow or he's not from Edinburgh. And he's a bit of crack, just seems like a regular fella. Won his home open last year, won the Canadian Open, I think, with his dad on the bag. Robert McIntyre was somebody I'd love to see win this. And Luke Donald, took 23 putts yesterday, 10 more than Shane Lowry, and then you see 6 shots in the difference. Mm. And that's what it comes down to. You got to drive for show and put for dough at the PGA. So, but yeah, there's like the Masters is one of the greatest television events I think any of us have seen. So it's hard to then just say, oh, well, let's get another Masters in a month's time. It just doesn't work that way. But I think the US Open will be better and the Open will be better.
This definitely has morning after feel, right? I mean, the PGA Championship, it's an American major, John, isn't it? Because the last European to win it was Rory in 2014. The last non-American to win it was the year after.
Well, between 1930 and 2008, no European won it. Porter Carrington was the first person to break it after Tommy Armour. So that's how much of it's been always. Like, you've had some obscure winners of the PGA, Sean McKeel, Jeff Sluman, like with every respect to them what they did that week, their careers wouldn't be in the bracket of Rory or Scottie Scheffler.
Seamus Power, 1 over, 1 eagle, 3 birdies, 2 bogeys, 2 double bogeys, 6 round, but not bad.
Yeah.
Seamus Power, considering the rest
he
of the
struggled
Irish.
Around the greens, Seamus, struggled around the greens. That's the thing. You have to be consistent. I think it's about making as least mistakes as possible, more so than having spectacular eagles and this and that. So you're looking for the player who makes 6 birdies and 2 bogeys, or 5 birdies and 1 bogey, than the more flashier types, I feel.
Luke Donald had a fine round, the Ryder Cup captain, 47 years of age.
Hasn't had a top 10 in a major since 2013, Luke.
Jeez.
That's how far.
Tied fourth anyway, going to round two. Keith, I was saying to you pre-show about the whole Rory McIlroy thing. How do you respond? The morning after is the analogy I use, but the next day out after doing something momentums. In your own career, you mentioned there was a particular game you played brilliantly in. And I wonder what's the psychology afterwards for the next match going into it, because you're on top of the world. Can you tap it again?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what the manager would be saying. If you play well in one game, he just tells you to repeat it. But it's so difficult. I remember there's certain games I would play in the championship season, the likes of Leeds. Like, a lot of my family would be Leeds fans, so whenever I played in Ellen Road, I would have that little bit of a bit between me teeth. And look, it's nowhere near what Rory's done with the Masters, but when you play in those big games and then you come back to sort of a more mundane game, it's very, very difficult to keep your motivation as high as it should be. So, look, I think it's a fairly easy fix for Rory. Only four fairways hit off the tee. I think it's a fairly easy fix moving forward. Hit more fairways and you should be an awful lot better off. But, yeah, look, from an athlete's point of view, it's very, very difficult. But golf is a very, very strong mental sport, and if you're mentally not where you need to be, you will struggle, and that's why I didn't play an awful lot of golf.
it's one of the unfortunate things about elite sport, isn't it? When you win something, you almost can't revel in it. The next question is, what about next year? Mm. What about the next tournament? Like, Michael Jordan, Last Dance, the first questions he's asked after that game, it's game six, it's like, are you coming back next year? It's like,
yeah.
What do you mean? I just came back for this year.
Yeah,
I won it all.
But the greats don't revel, I guess. That's it, makes them great. So it's difficult. It's difficult. Ryan Giggs used to always say that at the end of my career, I'll think back, but then the memories fade. But that's the thing about top level sport. Yeah. Like, you can't really think about it.
You get these questions, don't you, after GA matches when a team is knocked out, or like, so are you considering your position? Yeah, in like in the dress, you know, they just come out of the dressing room and they're in front of the cameras.
Yeah, that's for the line, isn't it? Like, you know, it's look, before we let you go, you and I won't see each other again before the Europa League final. It's Spurs against... No, don't wish that upon us. Spurs against Manchester United next week.
Have you got your retro sharp jerseys?
I do, actually.
You're going to wear one of them?
I have one, yeah. But no one will see it. Like, I'll just be at home. Yeah. It'll be the falling tree.
Put it all over social media.
You know what I mean?
Instagram.
No, I won't. I'll let people think about it.
Which colour is it?
It's the black one from 93, 94.
Wow.
Which they only wore like, I think, like a dozen times ever.
With the gold lettering.
Yeah. It was, I think, Roy Keane's favourite jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
What I was going to say to you was, I won't just ask you who's going to win, right? I put it this way. If Spurs do end up beating Manchester United in the Europa League final, do you envision a world where Ange Postecoglou stays in charge?
No.
Really?
No.
It's absolutely done regardless of what happens.
Yeah. I think for him, I think he, you look the way he's been speaking at press conferences about Spurs, you know, driving everybody crazy and everything. There's a 2 million bonus if they win. I think he'll ride off into the sunset. He'll have his reputation restored, and I think it'll be good for all parties. But it still, it isn't, if you ask me, if they win a first trophy first time in 17 years, can he get all the blame for what's been happening in the club? No. But maybe... Like this is Tottenham's worst league position since 1977 when they were relegated. So something has to change in the league. And there's an Erik ten Hag worry, isn't there, that you win a trophy and then you reward the person for winning the trophy with a new deal, and then you get to November and it's still the same. I mean, remember that run that Tottenham had at the very start of last season? They were top of the league after 10 games. If you take those 10 games out of it, it's even worse. So the players actually have been playing almost... despite themselves in the European competition, a bit like Manchester United, that they've been playing in a pragmatic way. The defence is good. They've got good attacking players, but their midfield is a worry. You know, Maddison, Bergvall and Kulusevski now, and that might give Manchester United an advantage with Mount and Diallo now giving them options. But folks, if you, like, I know Shane Hannon's going to Bilbao. With all these things, folks, you want to go to a sporting event, you got to plan it. I'm not going. You got to plan it months, a year in advance and take your chances. And then if it works out, fantastic for you, because... anybody trying to go now to Bilbao, I would probably recommend against it. It'll cost you thousands. It'll be a travel nightmare. And is it all worth it for 90 minutes? You want to be sorting this out months ago, and as some people have been clever enough to do, because you're trying to do it now. I'm actually glad I never got to the Champions League final in 2019, because Liverpool scored in the first minute. They were selling tickets for €10,000 outside the ground. I'm glad I didn't go in the end, because it would have been a washout and I would have been better off taking a holiday somewhere else and watching it on television.
54, 33, 48, 54. Just some of the guesses coming in on YouTube for Ger Gilroy's age today. Keep them coming. And don't forget, you can also get us on WhatsApp. 0879 180 180. John Duggan, thanks a million.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Yeah, I'm mixing up Panossi and San Sebastian. Maybe I am.
This is like a slow bicycle race of shit teams to glory.
Jesus.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.